702.
702 for the curious
on 92.7 and 106 FM.
It's 10 minutes past 2, and in this hour, a couple of things coming up, including Matter of Fact. Kate Wilkinson is sitting across from me today as we look through the DA's manifesto. So her team and her have taken the last, 4 weeks or so, looking at the DA manifesto and interrogating some of the claims. And they've brought three particular claims today. One pertains to clinics, and then another one, I think the land question is in two. There are two particular claims that pertain to the land question. And the failure rate of land reform is one that we'll be looking at. So how accurate, how true, how correct were the claims that the DA made in their manifesto? Good afternoon, Kate.
Hi, Azza.
Interesting. I just love these, by the way.
Oh, you do?
I do. So we did the ANC's one. Not too long ago, we did the EFF's manifesto, and now it's the DA's turn.
Absolutely.
So will there be time for a fourth party?
So we're considering it. We're looking at what claims come up. We're either going to look at, say, another party where there's lots of interest, or we might look at doing a selection of different leaders of different political parties to get more of a spread. But that's where the listeners come in. If listeners think that there is a claim that needs to be checked or a manifesto that needs to be torn apart and investigated, you can tweet us, email us, you can tweet Azania, and you'll pass the claims on to us. And then maybe we can have a listener show and see what people want checked, and we can use their claims as the basis of it.
With the elections in mind. Mm. So what individuals have been saying from different political parties with the elections in mind. We can get that going. So email azania@702.co.za. I found out the other day that there is a women's party. I think they're second. They'll be second to last or last on the ballot.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Of the 48, I think, we had 48 now political parties that are contesting the national elections, and there's a women's party. I was like, oh, okay. This is their second appearance, because they were in the previous national elections, but not much else in between. Mm. So let's look at the first one. So the first claim that you decided to tackle was around the ratio of clinic to people in this country. So the DA claimed that South Africa has a ratio of one clinic to 16,971 people, as opposed to the guideline of 1 to 10,000.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So as with all our fact checks, whether we've been fact checking the ANC or the EFF and now the DA, we follow the same process. So with all the claims we're going to talk about today, we went to the party and we said, hello, we're Africa Check. Mm-hmm. We're going to be fact checking some of your claims. Could you please tell us where the evidence or the source material is for these claims that we're looking at?
Yes.
And like you said, a claim about the number of people who have to share clinics in South Africa. And when we asked them for the source of this information, we were a bit surprised with the response.
Mm-hmm.
Because the statement suggests a current situation. It says South Africa has a ratio of one clinic to just under 17,000 people.
Yeah.
But when they got back to us, they didn't give us recent information. They said that the source of that information, the year that it was from, was actually from 2014.
5 years ago, right?
5 years ago. Mm. And that they had actually got the statistic from a survey that was released by the South African Institute of Race Relations.
Mm-hmm.
And in turn, they had sourced data from the Health System Trust, which is a nonprofit organization that specializes in health research.
Mm-hmm.
So if they were talking about 2014, they'd be right on the money, because that year there were 3,182 public clinics.
Okay.
And if you look at the number of people from the mid-year population estimates that year in 2014, you do get a ratio of just under one clinic for 17,000 people.
In 2014. So have we seen a change in the population, which I'm sure we have, and have we seen a change in the number of clinics?
Yeah, so let's start with the clinics. So people might be surprised to hear that there are not actually that many more clinics in South Africa compared to 2014.
Mm-hmm.
When we looked at the most recent data from the Health System Trust, we saw that in March last year, so that's March 2018, there were only 5 more clinics.
Sure.
So if we look at how many that is, we see 3,187 clinics.
Mm.
But over that period, the population has also grown.
Yeah.
So if we look at the number of people in the country, which was at about 57.73 million, according to last year's mid-year population estimates, we get a ratio of one clinic for every 18,114 people.
All right. So that's an under Yeah, so it's actually, it should have been higher. The ratio should have been higher.
Yes.
But what is a clinic? What constitutes a clinic?
So that's a good question. So we went to the Health System Trust who collects this information, and we asked about the data. And they said that when they talk about clinics, they're talking specifically about government-operated clinics.
Okay.
So we're looking at public clinics. What it excludes, importantly, is private clinics. Mm-hmm. So we're not including any of the private healthcare system in this ratio. And they're also not including government mobile clinics or satellite clinics.
Yes.
So we're only looking at sort of permanent government clinic structures, not private clinics, and not any mobile or satellite clinics that government has moving around at the time.
Which then gives us the 3,187 present day. Okay. Is that the same way that the Department of Health considers it?
Yeah, so we spoke to the Department of Health because this ratio is meant to mean something.
Yeah.
Ratios are meant to be a way of understanding how resources are allocated and the demand that is placed on them.
Served.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they said that population density was one factor that they consider when they decide how many clinics to build and where to put them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the only thing which is taken into consideration. And they gave an example. They said, if you think about the sparsely populated Northern Cape province,
yes,
you might have a population, a community of, say, 1,000 people, and maybe reasonably far away, but, you know, still within traveling distance, you have another community of about 1,000 people. They'll both need their own clinic because of distances, because of geography, because of socioeconomic reasons. They can't share a clinic because they'll have to travel.
Yeah.
But so they'll have to put two clinics there. So the ratio will be much lower.
Mm.
But in, say, a place like Soweto in Gauteng, it's not, they said it wasn't feasible to put a clinic every 2 square kilometers because there's so many people, we can't have clinics equally distributed around the country. So what they do is they have a clinic where they might have 30 consulting rooms.
Mm-hmm.
So there are fewer facilities, but they try to increase the capacity of the clinic.
All right. So there is that rationale that goes behind it. Mm. But the claim also suggests that there are guidelines that almost say that in a population of this size, this is the number of clinics that are needed.
And it turns out that doesn't appear to be true. So like you say, the DA makes a claim about the ratio of clinics to people, and then it says that we're not meeting the ratio because the ratio should be
1 to 10,000,
and it calls this a guideline. And we asked them also for the evidence to support this, and they sent us a document from the World Health Organization. But the document didn't say it was a guideline. All it said was that the ratio and distribution of health facilities per 10,000 people is a way of monitoring service delivery.
Mm-hmm.
That isn't the guideline or what they are suggesting the ratio should be in a country. And we spoke to quite a few people at the World Health Organization, and none of them said that they were aware or could point to where this guideline supposedly came from.
So what is the verdict on this claim?
So in this case, our verdict is incorrect. And we've actually received quite a bit of pushback on this verdict. And I think it's important to engage with that.
Mm-hmm.
What people have said is that your verdict of incorrect isn't fair because actually, the DA made the situation out to be better than it is. And you're making it sound, when you say it's incorrect, like they exaggerated or they lied or they tried to make the situation sound better.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is here, people are trying to make out that the DA are on the right side of wrong, that they've used a number which makes the situation seem better. So even though the information is outdated, even though it's 5 years old and it includes a claim about a guideline that doesn't exist, that somehow they're less wrong. But I think an interesting experiment to do is if the ANC made this claim, people would hammer them and say, you're making it sound better than it actually is.
Right.
And from our perspective, it's not whether people are trying to make it sound better or worse. It's not whether people have overplayed or downplayed a number. It's whether it's accurate.
Mm.
And in this case, the claim isn't accurate. It's outdated. And as a result, that we've rated the claim as incorrect.
Okay. But they've been quite cooperative because they've been telling you what their sources have been.
Absolutely. And in this case, they told us that their source was 5 years old. So they've been transparent about the source of their information.
Yeah.
And we really do appreciate when parties do work with us and do share with us how they reach their conclusions.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's something that shouldn't just be a conversation with us. It should be a wider conversation that you're constantly having with your followers and with the public so that people can understand how you're reaching your statements.
Yes. Because if you come into power, you're going to be making decisions based on
exactly
all of this. And then the second one, let's look at the second claim. The last two are actually, the second and the third are connected. Mm. And it is that national government's failure rate of land reform projects is currently standing at 92%.
Yeah, and considering the current debate around land reform, this is a really important statistic.
Yes.
It gives us an idea of whether this huge project, which may see our constitution reworked.
Food security, exactly. Ownership, land rights.
It throws a huge question as to whether these projects and these land reform farms are actually successful. If, our aims and our efforts from government side are actually resulting in success for the farms and the people that take them over. Mm-hmm. And we asked the DA where they got the statistic from, and it wasn't a study, it wasn't research, it wasn't data. They actually said that this statistic came from a statement which was reportedly made by ANC veteran Matthew Sposa, and in 2017 it was reported that he said that up to 90% of land reform projects are unsuccessful.
So just as an ANC veteran, he wasn't a government leader at the time when he made that claim, right? But is it backed up anywhere else?
So it's been made a couple of times over the years. So we had the former Minister of Rural Development and Land Reform, who also cited the statistic in 2010. But we spoke to Professor Ben Cousins, who's
2010.
Yeah, 2010. This statistic has been around for a very long time, and it's repeated and recycled.
Yeah.
But as we're just going to find out, there's not much to back it up. Hmm. And we found that out by going to a professor called Ben Cousins, who's at PLAS, which is the Institute for Poverty, Land and Agrarian Studies.
Yes.
And he said, at the time when the former minister made the statement, when Matthew Sposa made the statement, now recently when the DA made the statement, it is not backed by research. Mm-hmm. There is no study that has been conducted that shows that around 90% of land reform farms have failed or that they are unsuccessful.
Yes, but let's understand that then. What were they referring to exactly? If we talk about land reform projects specifically, what are they?
So, yeah, if we look at the claim that was made by the DA, it was that landform projects, the failure rate is at 92%. Mm-hmm. But it's difficult to say. We went to Matthew Sposa. We asked his office manager where the stat came from. We haven't got a response back from them. The department actually, in a parliamentary reply to the DA, said that they weren't aware of this 92% failure rate statistic that was being shared. And importantly, the DA actually conceded to us and said that they know that there has been no attempt by government to do a proper audit. So they know that there isn't an audit. They know that these numbers haven't been calculated, but they're still sharing the statistic. And they're using a statement that was reported on in the newspaper as evidence of this claim.
Hmm. So where does that leave this particular claim?
So it's a bit unsatisfactory. When we have claims like this, we know that it's not really based on research. There's limited research. We have rough estimates that in some cases around 50% of the farms have some form of success.
Yeah.
But we only really have around three studies from around 2005 to 2008. They're not really nationally representative. They don't tell us about the whole country. So unfortunately, the claim is unproven.
Hmm.
So the DA has stated that 92% of land reform projects fail in South Africa. This isn't based on research. They also know that no audit has been conducted that would reach this conclusion. But unfortunately, there's no data that exists to support or disprove the claim. So we have to conclude that it's unproven until there is more research that gives us a better idea.
Yes, and by credible organizations too. Right, let's take a break, and then when we come back, we interrogate another claim. So far, not so great. Incorrect was the one claim. You understand the reasons behind that as explained. And then the second one was unproven. Let's find out about the next claim, which also is connected to land but performance, particularly in the Western Cape. And the claim that the DA made is that the Western Cape's land reform audit found that the provincial government's pioneering commodity approach and through innovative solutions like the share equity schemes had led to the success of 62% of land reform farms in the Western Cape. Is it true? Is it proven? We'll soon find out after the break with Kate.
Azania Mosaka
on 702.
And we're back with Kate Wilkinson, senior researcher at Africa Check. We bring you Matter of Fact every second week. You're welcome to forward claims that you've seen shared or used for arguments or to create policy in the public arena by politicians, leaders of organizations, members of the media, you name it. Contact us, Azania at 702.co.za. Also tweet. You can contact africacheck.org or just come straight to us and we will forward it to them for it to be further researched on what basis has that claim been made and whether or not it's true. And then the last claim that we're looking at based on our look at the DA's manifesto once again has to do with land. And the claim, Kate, is that the Western Cape's land reform audit, so they own land reform audit, found that the provincial government's pioneering commodity approach and through innovative solutions like the shared equity schemes has led to the success of 62% of all land reform farms in the Western Cape.
So I think there are a few things we need to point out from the start. The first is that generally, if we look broadly, the claim is that 62% of all land reform farms in the Western, Cape have been a success.
Yeah.
And we need to ask two things. They mention an audit. The first question is, did the audit look at all the farms in the province? If not, did the audit look at a representative sample of all the farms in the province that have gone through land reform so that we can make accurate statements based on that data? And that doesn't appear to be the case here. First of all, it's important to note that the province doesn't actually know how many land reform projects or farms have occurred or been handed over since 1994. So we're starting with a very vague, blurry picture of exactly what we're talking about when the party is talking about all land reform projects in the province.
Right.
What the audit actually did was it started with 246 projects. And these are projects that the province had become aware of through interacting with them. So they'd either approached them for help or they had provided assistance to them. But of those 246, 135 projects were assessed. And of those 135 projects, 84 were deemed to be successful because they scored between 53% and 100% based on a list of criteria that they were assessed under. And those were things like the ability to feed the household and a number of other factors. So we don't actually know, the province doesn't know how many projects or land reform farms have occurred in the province. The audit looks at a small number of them, and the province couldn't tell us if those ones that were assessed were actually representative of all the projects that have happened in the province.
Right.
And importantly, there's no standard national definition of success. So we can't take this finding, which gives insight, you know, allows us to see how some of these farms are operating and apply it to another measure because this study hasn't been conducted in other provinces. We can't say whether the Western Cape is performing better or worse than Gauteng or Limpopo or KwaZulu-Natal because this exact study hasn't been conducted in those provinces. And it's even more problematic when this figure is then compared to the 92% failure rate in the previous claim.
Yes, yes.
And they're compared as though they're of equal worth and value.
So almost saying that the land reform projects that they're running in the Western Cape are highly successful. So they model their approach, what they're doing is successful. But I thought that these programs came from national government and not provincial.
Yes. So the land reform farms which were identified were actually assisted through two programs, which are actually support programs for farmers, which are funded by national government and then implemented by the provinces. So that's also how the province became aware of them. But the takeaway from this is that there is some truth to this. There was an audit. A certain number of farms were assessed and 62% of those farms were found to fit in a range of success. But there are a few problems. They didn't assess all farms in the province. They actually don't know how many land reform farms or projects there have been. And this audit was only conducted between 2009 and 2013. So we don't know what's been happening for the last 6 years.
Right. And as they say, the claim does say has led to the success of 62% of all land reform farms in the Western Cape. So where does that leave this verdict?
So this claim is misleading according to our verdicts. And that means that there are elements of truth. Right. There was an audit. the farms that were audited, 62% of them were found to be successful according to the definition that was used. But it can't be said to be representative of all land reform projects in the province, especially since the latest audit, which was conducted between 2014 and present, hasn't been released yet.
Mm.
And until we get nationally representative audits in provinces, we can't make comparisons between the provinces. And we can't say that one province like the Western Cape is performing better with regards to land reform.
Okay, so three claims there. This last one deemed misleading, but you can also go read up more on africacheck.org, because even questions about how many land reform farms were there, and the question around why this is not comparable, the argument about why this is not comparable, is laid out quite clearly there. But before we take headlines, and I can see that I'll be running late for the headlines, the DA did respond though, because you share your findings with all the various political parties.
Absolutely. So we're in touch with political parties often when we start the process, and then usually throughout, and then definitely at the end. And so once we finished this and we had our findings, we sent our findings to the Democratic Alliance and we asked them for comment. We've done it with all the parties, and the DA has actually been the first one who's responded and commented on our findings.
Mm.
And they said that they noted our findings, and that they said that their manifesto underwent a vigorous research and consultation process to ensure that they can deliver the best offering to South Africa's people. And they added that they are confident that all the information in the research into the manifesto is within reasonable accuracy. But it does appear in these few claims that we've looked at, and we are going to be looking at more. This isn't representative of the whole DA's manifesto.
Absolutely.
We're looking at five claims, and these are the first three. But it does appear that the bounds of reasonable accuracy may be a little bit wide with these claims.
Yes, which is why I was saying what constitutes reasonableness. And also it's the same with other political parties. Though we may have looked at three on the show, there are also further claims that that the team at Africa Check looks at as part of that exercise. Kate, thank you so much. I know you've had a lot of pushback when it comes to this particular one, but nothing that the team cannot stand up for.
Absolutely. Yes. And we are always happy to engage. So if you think we got it wrong, engage with us and we'll always talk with you about it.
Fantastic.